Cosmos. Okay. So how about this connection there between the astronomical and the cosmological in our multiverse sense that we have now established, right? There is, of course, a clear connection between them. For instance, Meru, or Axis Mundi, which can be seen as or which is, of course, described as a kind of axis through the worlds. How that is also, well, sometimes described as some nearest mountain or something where people live. Sometimes as Himalaya, sometimes as the axis that the Earth is spinning around, which points then to the pole star, in those days, Tuban. Now Polaris, so why are those two very different concepts about that pillar or mountain or tree or world axis connected as if they were one or hanging together? Does it mean that if you walk up to the North Pole, you will enter the Valhalla of Odin, or the top of Mount Meru with Brahma and the Dikpalas residing there, and the gods? Are they up there in the sky? Maybe on those stars? Do they live on the stars? The star is the sun. You can't live in a burning sun. See how we start to mess around and drift away in our modern astronomical thinking, which is really just, our worldview. We human beings is in our minds, and it has been put there for some reason, of course, generally by our parents and our teachers, and it came in there from someone, from somewhere. And maybe that someone or those that we were then mainly exposed to in our society, whether it's a small town or a country or a continent, where people or a little group in a town where people mainly associated with each other within the group, and how then the general worldview of the group, kind of takes over and becomes strengthened between those and the group there by the echo chamber effect and all that. So, where were we? Yeah, we need to break out of that and just try and look at all these pieces of evidence in our puzzle with clear vision and patiently put them into their place, which once you get into it is quite straightforward. And when you finish this book or this presentation, then you can just go on yourself, putting those pieces into place from your perspective. So anyway, is the pole star above the head of the gods, as it then seems in this old model? And, well, that has been a question that I have had throughout the journey of writing this book, and that I still have as I speak these words. So what is the answer? Well, if I may speculate, warning, warning, and I would be delighted to hear your opinion. Well, I used to think of it this way, and at least I want to put it here for your consideration. Since I was a kid, I was interested in the mathematics of dimensions. I liked geometry. I remember even in the gymnasium, my math teacher just came up to me and lent me a book about, he said, "You might like this." And it was about all this weird mathematics and different dimensions. And I did like it. So then I thought like this. We are now in a three-dimensional world. If I draw a picture on a paper that is a two-dimensional form, you draw a square there on the paper, it's two-dimensional. You make it into a cube, it's three-dimensional. We learned all that in school. But then, a square has width and depth. A cube has height also. But then there are one-dimensional objects too, and they only have a length, no width or depth, a line. But then if a line has no width, then how thick is it? It's infinitely thin. I mean, I like to think about such things. And but then, so that's the one-dimensional form. But then you got the one that has neither length nor width, the depth, a point, a zero-dimensional. So I used to play around with those dimensions, and then from that trying to extrapolate. This was kind of my hobby when I was a teenager. The fourth dimension. But then, and I leave that for now. But let's say we switch cube into a sphere. You start with a dot, and then it becomes a line, and then it becomes a circle, then it becomes a sphere. And each one of those has an original dot there at the center, which then you could say raises into another level, another dimension, by flying out into space. But not it's the space it lives in, but a higher dimensional space. And it then becomes a line. And I don't know if anyone can follow this, but again, this is what I was, like thought experiments. And I think I was like 17 or so, 15 maybe started. And well, you can get into all kinds of things here, but then the center point, which is then a center axis, and so on, could that maybe be what axis mundi is? In other words, we are three-dimensional beings. That means that we're not flat bugs, or what they call it, crawling around on a 2D surface. We have transcended that, risen up into another dimension. Whoops! And we can look down on those flat bugs and laugh at them and use them as examples when we talk about dimensions. But then above us, there may be those looking at us in the same way down there, laughing about us and talking about dimensions, as they are living in the fourth dimension above. So I was like, wow. And I've come upon this kind of thinking. I think it's basically there in this multidimensional mathematics. Of course, now they more see the fourth dimension as time, And yeah, maybe that's what it is then. Not an Einstein, but time worms and all that. And of course, you could imagine, and we learn from the Vedic scriptures, for instance, that there are different times on different, in different dimensions, so to speak, and different levels, lokas of existence. So, yeah, that seems to have something to do with it. But now, anyway, as we see, we are out in a quite wide and broad cosmos. And as I said, not very different from, and I would say quite compatible with, the cosmos that first Einstein with his relativity theory and then the quantum theory physicists came up with, and which some heroic scientists dared to work, continue working on, although it broke the rules of the scientific community back then. And still, to a surprisingly large extent, because physicalism, materialism simply does not work. Neither logically, philosophically, mathematically, scientifically. Theoretically, practically, and as a worldview that we can happily live within. So it's about time to challenge that. It's time for a nice positive revolution in consciousness. So, yeah. In other words, here we have a sense of up. And yeah, we have the pole star up there, and it's not exactly right, straight up, but then the upness for this planet, as we can see it, it points then to the pole star, and there's a rotation there. I guess there's a rotation in every magnetic field in the body, that in our body too. So you got our spinal column there as an axis up from the 2D flat earth level. Which is not flat, by the way, but round. But we can only see the 2D part of it from where we stand. So to us, it looks flat. And I would say in the same way, the cosmos, and I'm speculating, as I said, the 3D space we appear to be and think ourselves to be, and because we don't really know how big it is or what shape it has out there, but yeah, that appears here around us. it has an axis too, upwards. It stretches into another dimension. So that axis that is then described as this world pillar or tree that goes through the different worlds, then is axis mundi. And yes, it may be, there are many mountains on Earth that are called Meru, in Asia especially, because it points upwards. And there's this rotation and there's this axis there. And at the center, that's the real point here. That's what we also find in the yantras and the chakras there from those old cosmologies. The bindu, the center, that point, is the point of God. And in our body, microcosm, is the point of us, the Atma. And therefore the pole star, for instance, if you look at the Puranic tradition, what is that? That's Svetadvip. That's the place where God, Kshirodakshay Vishnu, the Purusha of this entire Virat, Vishva, lies sleeping in the milk ocean. It's up there where Brahma is, the lotus flower. So you see how that cosmic image that we have looked at all the way throughout this book is there. And in fact, it is there on every level, so to speak, every dimension in that kind of axis stretching out to the next dimension. And but then actually that creation is going the other way. It's coming from consciousness, so it's coming down from the very top level of Krishna Loka, Vrindavan, through levels of Vaikuntha, Mathura Dvaraka Vaikuntha, and then the same cycle, the same cosmic model repeats on each level, and we find it in the first level of the creation of this material world, Mahavishnu, Garbhalakshay Vishnu, Kshirodakshay Vishnu, and then going into the next level, the Virat, where you find the same cycle again, and that is the cycle of Chaturvyuha. Thank you for that.